Welcome back to the Jeff Fuller Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking around on this, what's left of this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with me, your show host. Joining us now, he is our House Majority Leader in in Montgomery, but he's from Hartzell, Morgan County, to be precise. Scott Stadagan joins us on the line. Leader, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. Doing well. Just my family and I are on our way back from a little fall weekend vacation with some old friends from Signal Mountain. So we're batteries recharged, ready to get to work.
Well, that's good to hear. It is fall break here, and somewhere in the Faro Bureau, there is a three-year-old running around as I speak. Well, before we get into the politics of the day, you and I are talking off air football, which is always a good thing. At least a distraction. It may not be a good thing on the field, but what do you make of this season? You're an Alabama fan. How do you feel?
I'm always proud of the program. There's a couple of things that, of course, as Alabamians, we're not used to, and we got to get used to certain things. But overall, I think the team is representing the state well, and the fans well, and the university well. But of course, there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, it's not your daddy's Crimson Tide. Well, maybe it is your daddy's. If you come up in the Ray Perkins through the Mike Dubose era, or Mike Shula era, I should say. But it's watching across the state, I still would trade you Hugh Freeze for Kalen DeBoer.
Well, I'm not going to walk into that trap, Jeff, but I will say.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't think it's I think it's still pretty high in cotton from my perspective.
I think there's certain things that we're used to. I'm used to, Nick Saban and the way he carried himself. And I think that's what we've been used to for all these years. And then before that, the coaches for him, but willing to, to give him a shot, and let's see how it ends up.
I usually talk about football all day long rather than politics, but not really a sports talk station here. Until 2 o'clock, that is. Let's go ahead and kick it off here, Leader. Presidential election cycle. I've been harping on this all day. I think if you're in the Trump camp, and most people listening to this show probably are, you got to feel good about where things are. I mean, you were around for 16 and 20 as a Republican. I think like we're probably in the best shape out of all three of those cycles right now.
I agree. And if there are any undecided votes out there that are listening, my advice to them is think about what you were paying at the grocery store, during the Trump administration versus what you're paying now. What were you paying at the gas pumps during the Trump administration that you're paying now? What were you paying on your home mortgage? I mean, and you can go down the line. The list is long, and there is no comparison in numbers. And I think that should be the determining factor of where you stand. And even if you are undecided, I think it's quite clear option for me.
Yeah. And the enthusiasm, I mean, it's not like a Barack Obama. Everybody's excited to go vote for this historic figure or something, but it is it's a referendum on the status quo, right? It is a referendum on, we had 4 years of both. And one, I think, was tainted by a global pandemic, probably an unfair assessment. But, some people will tag that to the Trump years. But even despite that, people sitting here today are going to be like, well, is my quality of life improved or is it decreased or what? And the personalities to me aren't, I mean, they're still important and character still matters.
100%.
A lot of people are just going to vote based on how they feel about the circumstances around them.
Well, 100%, and they need to, right? I mean, families can't even go to the grocery store right now and provide for their families the way they used to because the grocery prices are so high. And I mean, you got four kids, you have a mortgage, you have insurance, that those dollars count. And that's the difference here, you know, and Kamala keeps saying, when I'm in office, I'm going to do this. Well, guess what? You have been in office for 3.5 years. Why haven't you done it? We're struggling under your watch right now. And it's time for a change. It's time for us to get Trump back in office and hopefully get people where they can afford and live comfortably again.
Yeah, I you know, economics is going to be the driver of this. It's not going to be, I think it's less about the emotional impulse of people. And, you know, we used to kind of treat politics like sports or whatever. And now it's kitchen table issues. And you could just look and you see it. I mean, there's it's not just a feeling. It's tangible evidence at the grocery store or at the gas pump. Even like, you know, you see the culture changing. You see immigration causing changes in the culture in your local community. Stuff like that, I think, just kind of builds upon itself.
100%. And, you know, also, you know, she talks about women's rights. There has not been an administration that has destroyed women's rights more than they have. I mean, they're going after Title IX, challenging Title IX. They want boys to compete against girls. They want boys in the girls' bathrooms. They want to destroy everything that we fought so hard for over the years for our women and girls. They want to destroy it, but they camouflage it with abortion. And let's not even get into that, right? Because that is a whole different... really upsetting topic. But from that, all that stuff pushed aside, this is real stuff that are affecting families. And that's, I think that's what's going to be the end result in the election.
Yeah. And I, you know, the social issue stuff, I think it worked for them in 22, and they're like, well, let's build upon that. But the difference here is this: after Dobbs, you had a very, 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 red hot segment of the electorate, the pro-choice activists. They were sending checks to like Planned Parenthood or whatever. They were really, really, that was like they were at their peak performance. And I think they've fallen off. I think abortion may get some of these voters out, but it's a different kind. It's a midterm. It's not the same as a presidential election. And it's, you know, you and I could talk about this all day. I think the way a lot of you guys in Alabama legislature have handled this is the right way. I think our national Republicans may have let us down to some degree by not having a better answer on abortion. But that being said, it's just not going to be as big of a deal this time.
I agree. I think people are struggling financially, and I think that is the driving force where people are going to get to the, you know, the ballots. And, you know, I can't remember in my lifetime, you know, 2007 was difficult because of the recession and all that. But from that, I can't remember in my lifetime, since I've been making a living for myself past college, that I've ever felt the economy like it is right now. I mean, and literally you can feel it everywhere you go. And I think that's the driving force. And you can't say nothing about it because you're in office. You can't say, well, when I'm elected, I'm going to do this. No, 3.5 years, you have been in office. You have been in control. And if you win again, we're going to get the same results, but not probably worse.
Well, it's funny because, like, the media and some other Democrats will tell you, guys, the economy's better. It's so much better than it was under Trump. I mean, we have this statistic and this metric and this and that. And they throw all that out there, and it's just, it doesn't gain any traction. People still don't. I mean, there's a perception that they're having a harder time in 2024 than they've had previously.
Correct. And, you know, the media drives what they want people to believe. And we've learned this in recent debates. I mean, they would not debate either one of the candidates from president to vice president on Fox News because they knew it'd be a fair shot. And they knew the mics would be muted. They knew the moderators wouldn't get involved. They knew it'd be a fair shot, and they were afraid of that. So, and that's, the media is pushing this in this drive, but I think the people of our country are smart enough to realize what is working and what is not. I mean, that is that's plain and simple. And I think, honestly, on a national level, I think we're going to see that November 5th.
Joined by House Majority Leader Scott Stadhagen here on the program. Let's talk about some other things, and this has got a lot of people very, I think, engaged, at least here stateside in Alabama. And there's just this resettlement effort going underway. It seems like it might have died down a little bit, at least from a media standpoint. But like here in Alabama, the immigration policy or migration policy or whatever you want to call it, border policy, how far are we from the border, leader? I mean, we're a long way from the border.
We're a good haul.
Yeah, but yet you could see it around the state in different places wherever you go. Probably up your way as well, that, you know, this immigration policy is impacting people here locally. And you know, they have all these like monikers thrown at them, all these names, racist or whatever, but it doesn't matter. There is this, there's a tangible difference in what's going on in their surroundings because of the current president's immigration policy.
Correct. Yeah. And that's, I was about to allude right back to our last topic. You know, that is a presidential executive order who is bringing in immigrants, who is giving them work visas, who is giving them EBT cards, and who is flooding our communities when we have people in these communities that need these jobs and they're giving them to someone else. And my question is, however long this work visa lasts, and then expires, then what are they going to, are they going to round everybody up and send them back where they came from? Or are they just going to leave them? Probably leave them. So I think on a state level, we are tired of doing, like, it's a federal issue, but it is our problem. Our constituents are upset and we are going to have to fix it. And our hands are tied to some extent, but we are working and doing our due diligence to see what we can do for the citizens of Alabama because they're upset.
No, they're being resettled, and yeah, there is, you know, they're doing jobs ordinary Americans won't do, but they also use all of the public services. And down here in Baldwin County, leader, I mean, you have some schools at least a third to a half of the students here that don't speak English, and I mean that is. That's high. I mean, that's not. And how do you deal with that? Where do you get like somebody who's bilingual to teach, you know, just whatever it is, math or whatever, and do what they got to do? These are like the things that we're not really thinking about when it comes to our federal betters are thinking about when it comes to this immigration policy. They're just like, put them here, and let them deal with it.
Exactly. Exactly right. And at the end of the day, it's our problem to fix. And that's the, you know, federal funded stuff with school lunches. We're going to have to do something because the kids that are going to schools right now, it's not fair to them. It's not fair to them for the teachers to spend half the time in the classroom trying to teach a kid that doesn't even know English how to do a math problem. It's not fair to that kid. It's not fair to us as taxpayers. So I agree. We have to address the problem 100%. I don't know the solution yet, but I do know there's people working on it in Montgomery. We're all working on it, and hopefully we come up to a resolution. But I think it comes back to November 5th. If Trump gets in office, this will be fixed. We will not have this problem. When he was in office, we had nowhere near the percentage of people crossing the borders we do now. We had a couple legislators go to the wall or the non-finished wall at the border, and they were looking at the numbers from when Trump was in office and how many immigrants were crossing over to now, and there's no comparison. I mean, there's literally, it's a basketball team versus a football team crossing in comparison. I mean, there's no comparison to the numbers. And that's, I mean, with our drugs, our fentanyl, I mean, you go down the list. And we're not making our country better by letting them do that. We can't do that to other countries. Why are we letting them come in ours?
Well, and you know, here's what a lot of people will tell you, and it gets down to the local level. When you do this, let's say the example that everybody's using to me, Talladega County, for example, with Sylacauga there and this influx Well, that's not exactly, I don't know if they're cash strapped or what, but the county government there isn't, you know, they're not, it's not surpluses for days. There's a lot of financial issues there. And there's a belief that they're going to create this federal dependency. And you start kind of picking these places off around the state and creating a federal dependency because mm-hmm. we have to take care of migrants. So we have to seek help from Washington to do so. And all of a sudden you're now a ward of the federal government or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll change the politics. You create Absolutely. That dependency. And this is what it looks like. Well, let's settle these people here. And then they'll come to us for a handout, and then they'll be beholden mm-hmm. to us.
That's 100%. That doesn't sound like United States of America, does it?
I mean, it sounds like a very sinister strategy to win, like to win over the politics of a area.
100%. Make people dependent, so you have all the power, you know, and also all these immigrants going to the swing states. That's not a mistake.
It's a dependency not of our own doing. It's not as if, now I don't know, some of these situations there may be a poultry processing plant or something that says bring them on. We don't really know what's going on there. However, like the people in those areas are not, like the majority, the consensus, the public is not like come one, come all, bring them on in at all. And they're getting saddled with this problem and it becomes a burden and then they have no choice but to seek help from on other levels of government.
Yeah, and I'm going to take it back several decades ago of when we stopped making American products and we started shipping those off because it was cheaper, more profitable, and then all of a sudden we've got dock workers that go on strike and then we realize, holy moly, you know, we're dependent on other countries right now and we're not the United States of America that we used to be. And I think we need to get back to that. I think we need to bring companies back, incentivize them, make American products again. If you even try and go out and buy American products that say made in America, good luck, because it's a very small percentage of products that you can purchase.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same, you know, it's the same kind of direction from the government that you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that my childhood, it was like look for products made in America and try to avoid those made in China, Taiwan, or whatever. But that's impossible now. Hey, Leader, we're a little long there, but thanks for coming on and making time for us this morning.
Yes, I got one thing before I close out. You had Representative Fidler on the show earlier.
We did.
Just wanted to brag on her. She is very methodical. She pours her heart and soul to her district, and just want to compliment her on the job she does. And also, with the November 5th election, just want everybody to know God's in control. And we don't have nothing to worry about. God's in control.
Scott Stadagan, ladies and gentlemen, Leader, thanks again. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.